We'll put up the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation for Wednesday, February 11th, as we approach closer, ever so closer to Oregon's birthday. So I throw that in. Let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 198. Mr. Stembridge.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 198 authorizes the Oregon Reg Commission to suspend, this is the Racing Commission, to suspend prior to hearing the license of a multi-jurisdictional simulcast wagering hub. Upon the commission's finding that the licensee has placed customer monies at risk or intentionally violated federal law, Oregon law, or commission rules.
Thank you. Let's have Randy, Chris, and Kelly, the three who have signed up, all come up at once and have them present. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Metzger, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Randy Evers. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Racing Commission. Our offices are located in Portland in the Portland State Office Building.
I'm Chris Dudley, member of the commission. I reside at 7893 Only Street Southeast in Salem, Oregon.
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Gavlik. I'm an attorney with the Oregon Department of Justice.
Okay. Proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that Mr. Stembridge has done a nice job of giving an overview. Senate Bill 198 would authorize the commission to have authority to immediately suspend the license of a multi-jurisdictional simulcasting and interactive wagering hub. This hopefully will occur very rarely. The commission would take this authority. We would proceed very cautiously if we were to ever exercise if this is approved. I did want to share with you, we did have a situation about a year ago that the commission wanted to bring this to your attention. We did have one of our hubs that, because of federal investigation, all of their assets were seized, both the operating assets and the players' accounts. We were getting calls from the players asking for refunds of their money. Our administrative rule requires that if a player asks for a refund of their account, our rule says that within 5 business days, they're to be refunded those funds. So the company was in violation. Obviously, we didn't have any authority to require the federal government to release the funds. But I think our concerns were twofold. First of all, we were concerned that as long as the business is operating, additional funds could be placed into those accounts and be at risk. Potentially, new players could sign up with the hub and have their money at risk. And I think the third concern that the commission had was that the integrity of the sport of racing, integrity is key, both the racing and the wagering system. And we had a company that was under federal investigation for money laundering. And I think the commission was very concerned that we could have that kind of a company continue to operate, continue to have wagering occur when they had a license of the Oregon Racing Commission. So this would give us in very unique circumstances to be able to immediately suspend the license and let players know that that's not the kind of a company that they should be doing business with. So we would ask for your support.
Okay. You guys want to have testimony or are you just sitting there?
No, I think just to put a little context with it, when we found this aberration to have occurred and that bettors accounts were in jeopardy, couldn't be retrieved. The advice we got from the Attorney General was, under the current law, the only remedy we had was to start a process to review their license. And that's 90 days to get it started and maybe 4 or 5 months to have it completed. Under this situation, we could have said, okay, you have to stop operating right now, and then we'll go to a hearing and determine whether or not you can keep your license. These licenses are annual. So if we would suspend the license, they would have an opportunity within the next year to reapply. And if they remedied the situations, then the commission could relicense them.
Okay. We have the Department of Justice here.
Yes. What I would add is, again, we've talked about a very serious, egregious matter in which the commission wanted to act appropriately. And under the current law, there was tremendous risk associated with trying to act promptly, and so that's why they're seeking this fix. The bill makes clear that if they have to do an emergency suspension without a hearing, that the due process rights of the affected business would be protected. The hearing would take place place, assuming that they asked for a hearing. This hearing would take place as soon as practicable, and then the decision on the issues would be rendered as soon as practicable. So the idea would be that we'd be able to protect the Oregon consumers at the same time that we respect the due process rights of the business that would be affected. That would certainly address a situation that they had last year when we did have all the assets seized by the federal government.
All right, so, and I realize you don't necessarily know when the federal government is doing something, but if you were to suspend the license because you suspected something along those lines or other lines, would you be able then to secure wagers, money, and get it back to them at that point? I mean, are you able to then to take those monies and have them returned to the players?
The short answer, I think, is probably no. In the particular case that we had, I was in pretty daily contact with the federal Department of Justice.
Oh, no, but I'm not talking about the federal. I'm talking about if on a state level, you're ahead of, you know, maybe the feds don't know this yet. You know it, and you've suspended it. Does that allow you then to go and retrieve the assets of wagers who maybe are at risk for the reason you suspended?
No, I don't think it would, okay. Senator Metzger.
Okay. So the primary purpose then would be to keep new money from being thrown into an asset that they can't maybe get back.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Chair Metzger, the only other thing I would like to add is we did share this concept. We currently have 11 of these multi-jurisdictional hubs that we license. At the time, we had 9. We had a meeting with all those hubs, shared the concept of the Senate bill, and we had support from the other multi-jurisdictional hubs saying if that event occurred again, we think the commission should have the authority to go in and suspend a license because that creates a fair playing field for the rest of the other companies.
Okay.
So I'm not aware of any opposition to the bill.
Thank you. Any questions for our two members from the Oregon Racing Commission or the Department of Justice? Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Line 17 says the hearing would be as soon as practicable. Is there a definition on that? I mean, what's the legal definition of that line? Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to get to the point where we have a lawsuit over denying somebody's rights. I mean, could we put a cap on that of some sort, 5 days, whatever, 3 days, whatever it'd be?
Your Honor, we took that language directly from a U.S. Supreme Court case in which the Supreme Court talked about allowing the hearings to take place as soon as practicable. So we parroted that language straight out of a U.S. Supreme Court case in which they upheld the governmental agency's ability to do an emergency suspension.
Follow up?
Yes.
Just so I understand, how many days are you envisioning this would be that would be practicable? Are we talking 3 days or are we talking 60 days?
As soon as we could get someone from the Office of Administrative Hearing, I mean, I would be ready to go. I mean, we would have the information. I'd be ready to go whenever they said it. But we have to work through the Office of Administrative Hearings. And in something like this where we would be under constitutional deadlines, I'm sure they would work with us to have that done very promptly.
Any other ideas on number of days at all?
I don't have a specific number of days, but short. We're not talking, under the normal rule, you're allowed up to 90 days, and we're not talking anywhere near that.
Any questions? Okay. Any concerns by the committee?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'd like to have a specific date in there. Because that's just litigation waiting to happen right there. I mean, if this did happen and somebody was falsely accused, that's just litigation waiting to happen, it seems like to me. Because if it went 90 days, to me, that'd be to have a business shut down for a quarter. I just am throwing that out. It's not going to make me vote against the bill. It just raises a concern.
Mr. Chair.
Well, let's let her respond, and then Senator Starhead.
I've
raised the same issue when the gentleman came and visited me in the office today. I share the concern that we don't have a date certain in the bill. I would support putting in a, you know, some sort of date certain, 15 days or something. We've been given the assurance from the Department of Justice that it's 3 or 4 days. Sounds like, you know, we could rely on that and say record, but, you know, we're the ones writing the statute. We could write it however we decided.
Well, it would be nice if we had someone from the Division of Administrative Hearings to get an idea of that docket. but what would be the reaction, and I think it's probably a DOJ question, to what Senator George, Senator Starr said about as soon as practicable as your language currently is, but no later than X amount of days. So, I mean, I don't think we want to limit how fast it can be done, too, or at least, you know, give, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know about you, when I was in school, if I had 2 weeks to do something on a school, I would do it the night before 2 weeks. So we also still want to make it as fast as possible and not say, well, I have 30 days, so talk to me in 30 days or 60 days. Would it be possible to maybe ask that if you could, since you're closest to it, to talk to the Office of Administrative Hearings, at least get a what you think would be a reasonable amount of time that this could be expedited so that we don't put something in law that's not, this doesn't fit, but also gets to the question that the senators have about you know, having a little closer window as to when someone would have their day before the officer. Is that possible?
I would certainly be happy to do that, Senator. And then perhaps, just out of concern, I am an attorney, so I tend to be a little bit risk-averse. I will admit that. Perhaps if we put an outside date, and also to address Senator George's concern, would you be amenable to having some kind of language in there that it could be at a later date if both sides were to agree? Because sometimes, you know, we set a date certain, then we're able to resolve the issue, and then no one wants it. You know, we think, well, wait a minute, if we work this out, we don't need a hurry, we don't need a hearing, and so I was just wondering if that would be a meeting with Senator Starr and Senator George.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, right?
Okay.
Right, it gives us some leeway. Okay, then what I'm going to ask is that with the commission and the attorney from the department, and work with Mr. Stembridge on the language, ask if you, once you have that, contact, well, I'll hear from Mr. Stembridge, but Senator George, Senator Starr, and then we'll bring a bill back and hopefully be able to move it then. How's
Thank
that?
Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Close public hearing, Senate Bill 198. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 172. Colleagues, this is the bill we had on tax, the licensed tax practitioners, regarding, the fact that they're licensed for personal income taxes, but if they end up doing someone's corporate tax. I held this for a few days just because I wanted to check with the CPA folks, even though they're not covered by the bill, and I've done that. So, and they're not covered by the bill, but they're already covered by their own similar organization.
Would you like a motion?
Yeah.
I move Senate Bill 172 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Starrs moves Senate Bill 172 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection. All right, so ordered. I'll go ahead and carry that. And tomorrow's, Mr. Stembridge?
You have a special meeting with, a joint meeting with the Committee on Finance and Revenue. We'll be meeting next door. We'll be in hearing room A. We'll have a note on the door here for you in case anybody wants to meet in this room. The meeting will be next door with Finance and Revenue. We're going to be receiving some Department of Transportation reports.
It's our annual cost allocation or biannual study of allocating of cost for transportation. So
there'll be a couple other things there also. So
yes, we have a couple.
I understand
that.
Joint meeting, did he say?
With a joint meeting, with on that issue, and then we have a couple of other issues.
Okay.
I think that it will be a rather full meeting, I'm told.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't received materials yet. Oh, we have. I haven't for tomorrow. I haven't seen any.
I'll see what I have.
Okay.
We'll check with the revenue office.
Yeah, if they have something in advance, that would be helpful for me.
And did you?
Oh yes, I'm sorry. We have a committee bill to introduce for Ms. Charles. Yeah, here we go. We have LC 2196. Prohibits city or county from granting exclusive franchise for for-hire carrier persons. It's Senator George has a similar bill. I have a similar bill. We'll be dealing with this issue. But this one we're introducing at the request of Mr. Charles. And, again, this does not indicate support or opposition to the bill, but just the right to introduce it into the process.
Mr. Chair, I move we introduce LC 2196 as a committee bill.
Senator Starr has moved LC 2196 be introduced as a committee bill. Any objections? So ordered. And we're adjourned.